What if I told you that Coca-Cola's billions in advertising aren't about convincing you to love their brand more? They're just trying to stay visible when you're thirsty. That customer loyalty programs might be wasting your money? That the most profitable customers aren't your devoted superfans, but people who barely think about you? For decades, marketers have built careers on myths. Differentiate or die, create emotional bonds, target your niche, nurture loyalty. Then Byron Sharp arrived with data from thousands of brands across dozens of countries, and the evidence was devastating. Big brands don't succeed because they're more loved, they simply have more buyers. Growth doesn't come from deepening relationships with existing customers, it comes from reaching people who barely know you exist. This isn't theory. It's pattern after pattern, replicated across industries and continents, revealing how markets actually work versus how we've been taught they should work. Smaller brands face double punishment: fewer customers who also buy slightly less often. This double jeopardy appears everywhere. When researchers compare brands, penetration varies dramatically, while purchase frequency barely changes. A brand with 5% market share might see customers buying 8 times yearly. A 25% share brand sees 10 purchases. The difference in buyer numbers? Massive. The difference in loyalty? Marginal. This pattern demolishes conventional wisdom. Growth doesn't come from converting casual buyers into devoted fans, it comes from acquiring more casual buyers. Toyota discovered that even reducing customer defection to zero would gain just 1 percentage point of market share. Meanwhile, with half of all new car buyers switching brands annually, 50 points sat waiting through acquisition. The typical marketing meeting touts the 80-20 rule, except the math is wrong. For most brands, the heaviest 20% account for roughly 50% of sales. The remaining 50% comes from millions who buy once or twice yearly. Consider Coca-Cola. Their average buyer purchases 12 times yearly, but half buy just once or twice annually. These light buyers collectively represent massive volume. Your growth isn't hiding among devoted fans, it's scattered across millions who barely think about you. Marketing's perceptual maps suggest brands attract distinct demographics, but purchase data reveals otherwise. A 1959 study found Ford and Chevrolet owners had identical personality profiles. Studies across hundreds of brands confirmed this pattern. Car brands like Rover, Escort, and Cavalier showed nearly identical demographics in gender, household size, and newspaper reading habits. Beer brands, credit cards, and 40 other categories averaged just 2-3 percentage points deviation from category norms. Even Yorkie's It's Not for Girls campaign attracted 44% female customers. This discovery is liberating. Brands aren't trapped in narrow niches. Your competitors' customers are essentially identical to yours, meaning tremendous growth potential exists. But competitors can easily target your customers too, highlighting why continuous marketing matters more than finding your tribe. Brands share customers with others in proportion to market size through the duplication of purchase law. Every brand shares more customers with large brands, fewer with small ones. In ice cream, every brand shares about 38% of customers with market leader Carte d'Or, regardless of positioning. This law reveals your true competitive set based on actual behavior, not product features. Markets function largely as mass markets with minor fragmentation. Think like a sophisticated mass marketer, recognizing heterogeneity while seeking broad reach rather than niche positioning. Brand loyalty is surprisingly weak and rarely exclusive. Experiments show people develop preferences for identical products simply by adding different labels. Car buyers show 50% repeat purchase rates despite years between purchases, mainly because they consider only two brands, one being their current vehicle. Only 13% of customers are 100% loyal to a brand. Most practice polygamous loyalty, regularly purchasing from a small repertoire. You likely frequent 2 or 3 coffee shops, rotate through several snack brands, and subscribe to multiple streaming services. Larger brands disproportionately attract light category buyers, a statistical effect called the natural monopoly law. Occasional soft drink buyers choose Coca-Cola due to probability, not preference. Heinz buyers purchase tomato sauce 4 times annually, while smaller brand buyers purchase 8 times yearly. Real loyalty is mundane. Research found only 4% of Australian beer drinkers reported deep affection for their preferred brand, and even these lovers only purchased it half the time. Brands function as a necessary convenience, enabling purchasing routines. These passionless habits make buying almost automatic, which is precisely what keeps brands alive. Marketing textbooks champion differentiation, yet research examining 130 brands across 13 categories reveals minimal, meaningful differences. Only 3% of people see a single brand as exclusively associated with a particular image. Studies across multiple categories and countries show buyers perceive very weak differentiation, yet loyally buy their brands anyway. Typically, only 10% of users think their brand is different. Even 77% of Apple users did not perceive their brand as different or unique. Instead of differentiation, focus on distinctiveness, helping brands stand out so buyers can easily recognize them. Distinctive brand assets include colors, Garnier Green, logos, McDonald's arches, taglines, Nike's Just Do It, symbols, celebrities, and advertising styles. Unlike differentiation claims, these elements can be legally protected through trademarks and reduce cognitive effort in cluttered environments. Two criteria determine an asset's value: fame, how many people associate your brand with that asset, and uniqueness, how many people only associate your brand with that asset. Strong distinctive assets increase identification triggers, improving advertising effectiveness, and making products easier to notice when shopping. Modern consumers face overwhelming choice and limited attention. Most are light buyers who rarely think about brands, so they satisfy, settling for satisfactory options and reaching for familiar products without evaluation. Mental availability is your brand's propensity to be noticed or thought of in buying situations. It's built on memory associations, physical attributes, usage occasions, emotions, visual elements. Stronger, fresher networks mean greater consideration. When awareness is high but sales disappoint, buyers simply don't think of you when shopping. Different cues trigger different competitors. Something to wake me up might conjure coffee, Red Bull, or a brisk walk. Physical availability means making your brand easy to notice and buy across diverse situations. High distribution is essential for market share, but doesn't guarantee it. Many widely available brands underperform without mental availability. Together, these create market-based assets underpinning your brand's financial value. They make marketing more productive. Advertising works better with existing memory structures and strong distribution. Neglected brands with residual availability can be revitalized for tremendous gains. Your job isn't creating passionate lovers. It's building availability so your brand comes to mind and can be easily found. Analysis of thousands of brands reveals 7 strategic rules for growth. First, continuously reach all category buyers, existing customers, potential buyers, and light users through distribution and communication. Second, remove barriers to purchase. Third, get noticed consistently, as emotional content works primarily by capturing attention. Fourth, refresh brand-linked memory structures with consistent campaigns. Fifth, create distinctive assets that trigger recognition and anchor other brand memories. Sixth, maintain consistency while staying fresh. Tell the same story in entertaining ways. Seventh, focus on mass appeal, removing reasons not to buy rather than obsessing over reasons to buy. Brand growth requires investing in market-based assets, mental and physical availability. Simply spending more on advertising isn't enough. The investment must build lasting brand assets. Distinctive memory structures make future advertising more effective. Expanded distribution amplifies marketing impact. The evidence is clear. Stop chasing passionate loyalists. Stop obsessing over loyalty programs. Stop differentiating on irrelevant attributes. Instead, build mental and physical availability relentlessly. Make your brand easy to notice, remember, and buy for everyone in your category. reach light buyers, refresh memory structures, maintain distinctive assets. Brands don't grow by being loved more deeply, they grow by being bought more broadly. Your future customers aren't devoted fans. They're the millions who barely know you exist, yet.